1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side is Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for the last 61 years. They will buy your vehicle today. Start shopping now, BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan is waiting to help you personally. No joke. Get that Ira Kaufman podcast discount.
You do what you got to do. Everybody understands that. Turkey, of course, ham, spinach with the tomato, creamed onions, mashed potatoes, cranberry, nice glass or two of wine, a layer cake to round out the evening. They didn't have enough crackers for yours truly with the cheeses and the pepperoni. Doesn't come natural for me. I'm going to show some class. What's the next size up from extra large?
Buccaneers fans, we're closing out 2021, two games to go. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is here to talk all about it. The Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the king of Newport Richey. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee Decamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Call Sean Sullivan now. That's your order. Sean Sullivan, GM, Bill Curry Ford. He's going to give you the Ira Kaufman discount. Take care of you personally. This is the best time to buy a vehicle. This is the best time to trade in a vehicle. It'll never be worth more than it is today. BillCurryFord.com, 61 years, a Tampa tradition, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Shop now immediately at Bill Curry Ford. And our thanks to Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. New Year's is here. It's the party time of year, extra party time of year. Your NFC South championship party is over, but you can still drink all the great Big Storm beers. Find them at BigStormBrewery.com. Punch in your zip code there. You'll see where it's sold. Big Storm is at Publix. Fine establishments, not so fine establishments. It's everywhere. Enjoy Big Storm beer, the Bromosa, their Tangerine IPA. Maybe it's the Wavemaker Amber Ale. Big Storm beer is the way to go. Florida's best craft beer. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. We'll hear more about them later. Sage, Bucks won a game that everybody expected them to win, but they won it very differently than a lot of people expected for a lot of reasons. Lee and I are going to clear the dance floor. We will let you tell us about it, but also tell us what you ate for Christmas. We need to know the calorie counts and the long, long list of foods.
Stevie, I'm going to start in an unusual manner, unusual for me. You know me on a tennis court, Isbitz. I'm not a good loser. I don't even like to lose a point. When it's over, it takes a lot for me to shake the guy's hand. But I'm going to show some class today, DeKemper. Doesn't come natural for me. I'm going to show some class, and I'm going to congratulate our good friend, Todd Wright, for winning the Fantasy League and winning 1,000 clams, courtesy of Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, where we held this draft back in August. And, you know, Todd Wright beat me in the championship. I don't know what the hell Kamara was doing out there. I don't know what Matt Stafford was doing. But I had Cooper Kupp this year. Lee did a great job. I had Tom Brady, did a fantastic job. Of course, I benched Brady last week for Matt Stafford. Didn't matter. The Bucks won easily, Lee. They should have. Cam Newton's done. Darnold's no good, Lee. The Bucks did what they should do. They got no weapons. I'll say this right now. I can sense it over the telephone. The Kempers are picking slop over the way Antonio Brown came in. Hadn't played in 2 months. Had a monster first half. Over 100 yards. And I can just see the Kemper saying, I told you so. They need Antonio Brown. Nothing to see here. He did nothing wrong. Great job, Bucks, keeping Antonio Brown. I'm not going to get into it, Lee, but I'll say this. He's playing great football.
They absolutely needed him. I didn't expect him to get 10 catches for 101 yards, but yeah, I don't know how to judge the Bucks. I want to be happy. You know, like the immortal Cyril Grayson comes up from nowhere. Kenyon Barner gives the Bucks a prayer at the return game.
Keyshawn Vaughn.
Who saw that coming? So on one hand, I want to say, holy cow, you brought guys up from, you know, I didn't even know, you know, and people will get mad at me for saying this, but I don't care about the practice squad. I just don't care. I care about guys on the field. That's what I care about. I didn't even know Cyril Grayson was still on the practice squad. And Keyshawn Vaughn, you would have told me he was on the Jaguars roster. I would have believed you. You know, Kenyon Barner, Kenyon Barner, that's the Ian Beckles line. I never heard of this guy in my life. Well, I've heard of Kenyon Barner, but okay. And these guys come from nowhere, and they make a contribution, a big contribution. I hope that lights a fire under some people. Tyler Johnson, are you listening? Jalen Darden, are you listening? I'm really restraining myself not to go on a Jalen Darden rant. And I don't hate Jalen Darden, but you know what? Gosh darn it, if your goal is to repeat as Super Bowl champs, you shouldn't be gifting guys jobs for on-the-job training. You need production. If you can't produce, get out of the way. And it was comforting to see this Kenyon Barner come in and actually try to run the ball north and south and not these big sweeping crescent moon returns where he tries to outrun everybody, Jalen Darden, and he figures out, oh, wow, I'm not playing Arkansas State anymore.
That's a fantastic line. Crescent moon returns. Outstanding. And, Steve, you know me. I can rarely go by past the podcast without talking about the offensive line, good or bad. And they were lousy against the Saints, who have a good defense. Even last night, the Saints played defense. But, Steve, if the Panthers have strength, and it's hard to find one right now, it's those two edge rushers. And they combined for one hit on Tom Brady Sunday. That's more like it. You know, they got three Pro Bowlers up there, Stevie. And on Sunday, they looked like they had three Pro Bowlers up there.
Well, I'm completely happy, Ira, because not just the win, the Bucs proved a strength of their team that we've talked about so many times, but they took it to another level when it came to the depth. We've talked about developing players. We've talked about the coaching staff. And in comes Cyril Grayson. He didn't just play and make a couple of catches. He started. And not only did he start, he filled the Chris Godwin role of blocking, and he hurdled Tyler Johnson on the depth chart. He played 80% of the plays, and if you really watch the game, I mean, the guy played with his hair on fire, blocking inside, outside, caught a big pass, obviously, and the fact that he was ready to play in a big game against a good defense, I mean, wow, that they got this guy ready to go. It's just impressive. It's not a fluke, I don't think, by any means. And like Lee said, you know, Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller, they got to be looking at that saying, you know what? We just got beat out right now. That's where we are. And the Keyshawn Vaughn stuff, it didn't surprise me just because I think that guy's got some talent. I mean, we haven't seen him run the ball much, but I'm not surprised that he got some shots and broke a run. I don't think he's going to break one every game, but he had a good run, and Rojo did what Rojo does, which is he dropped a touchdown pass. It's not talked about much, but he was the first option. Brady, you know, in the red zone, 5-yard line, throws it to Rojo. He doesn't turn around fast enough. And, of course, he can't pass block. He's going to get Brady crushed. But he can run the football, and he can handle 20 carries without you worrying about him fumbling. And he looks like a number one back. So these guys were ready to go, and the defense stepped up. That, for me, Ira, that's what's most exciting, is that defense, when those three cornerbacks are healthy, and we know the safeties are pretty good in general, and they can have some superstar moments. The front seven is a front seven, but the defense is impressive right now.
It is, Steve. You know, I'll throw an asterisk in there. I will. Carolina doesn't scare anybody. Nobody can throw the ball over there. Their offensive line is in shambles. But, Steve, your point's well taken. Lee, I'll throw a monkey wrench in before we go crazy here. I'm a little concerned, Lee. I need you to calm me down, but I'm a little concerned. I don't like the way Gronkowski's looking right now, Lee. I don't know whether he can turn this thing around. He looks a little beat up. He looks a little tired. What's going on there, Lee?
I'm not going to panic on Gronkowski. I'm not going to panic. He hasn't been outstanding, but I'm not going to panic. I mean, this guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he forgot how to play all of a sudden. You know, maybe he's dinged up. We don't know about it. But of the list of concerns, he barely gets on the list, in my eyes. O.J. Howard's done. I mean, that stuff I heard yesterday from Arians. Oh, his day will come. Okay, yeah. Is that why he was getting single-digit snaps last 4 or 5 weeks? Are you telling me when you had all these guys hurt and, you know, against Washington, et cetera, that if this guy had it in him, you wouldn't have thrown to him? You know, come on.
Lee, that's what you say when you don't want a guy going off the reservation and going into a funk. That's what you say.
Good point. You want to try to keep his head in the game. Okay, I see your point there, yeah.
Steve, I liked special teams on Sunday, and I was a little concerned. They had no return game, you know, going into that game. I was a little worried about suck up. Lee was never worried about suck up, never. But I was. The new punter did well. They won the special teams battle, Steve, and that hasn't happened a lot this season.
Yeah, and this Grant Stewart guy, the rookie seventh round pick, two more tackles. He's just fun to watch. I mean, he's doing it consistently. And yeah, I thought, you know, okay, you're flashing for some games, but he's just fun on these coverages. Made a couple of really good tackles. And yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with Kenyon Barner. It's nice to see somebody just catch it and go. You know, he slipped, of course, like all Bucks returners do, when he caught the ball on the bounce and played it well and split the defense, but he you know, stepped on a banana. But I'm going to agree with you with Gronk, Ira. I got to agree with you. Gronk came back from his injury and he was lights out. I mean, he had 3 or 4 excellent games in a row, big time games. And the last two games, he's just completely fallen apart. He looks like he's just mentally and physically slow. And like Lee said, maybe he's banged up and we don't know it, but whatever the reason, I don't like it. You know, it's December. These were critical games, these last two games, and he just has not looked good at all. And that doesn't bode too well. Now, I'll say this about O.J. Howard, and I think part of what Arians is talking about, I agree with you, Ira, that you got to prop the guy up. But, yeah, he blocked okay. But he did have that one catch, a catch and run, very nice for a first down, 13, 14 yards. It was called back for a motion penalty on Antonio Brown. But I think they might be talking a little bit about that. Like, hey, you know, OJ, you did what you were supposed to do. And you had a good yak on that run. And maybe that's a little bit of a spark.
Absolutely. And Lee, we have to salute, which Joe Bucks fan did, you know, consistently post game. But Whitehead was fantastic, Lee. He was fantastic. Oh. We always knew he could stick a runner. But he was a sure tackler on Sunday. He made some open field stops that were very impressive. And, you know, he's not terrible in pass coverage, Lee. He's not great, but he's getting better. From start to finish, Lee, I thought he was the best player on the field.
I agree. The guy was all over the place. When's the last time a Bucs defensive player got 3 pass breakups? Or pass defense, I should say. I mean, the guy was all over the place. He should have had a sack. I thought he had a sack. If I remember correctly, Cam Newton was in there, and he shoved Cam Newton right into Will Golston's arms. So if you got to shove a guy, at least shove him into your teammates so he can get the sack. He didn't even get a quarterback hit on the play, and I'm like, what? He jumped on top of Newton, and he didn't tackle him, but he shoved him right into Will Golston. So you know about O.J. Howard real quick? I got to be fair with the guy. Just the nature of his injury. I think people are trying to trivialize an Achilles injury like he had. And I always thought that was a major injury. And I know sometimes it takes a player over a year to fully recover. And maybe O.J. Howard's not there yet. Maybe he lost a step. Maybe he lost 2 steps because of that injury. So I got to be fair there. But it's just bad timing for him because his end of his contract is coming, and so far there's nothing that he's shown this year that should suggest the Bucks throw money at him to keep him, to extend his contract. And absolutely. You know, I feel bad saying that because I like the guy. I wanted to see him do well. I thought he was going to do well. He seemed to have turned the corner last year before he got hurt. And right now, if you put a gun to my head, I would take every nickel O.J. Howard's making and allocate that to keeping Chris Godwin.
Let's take a step back, Steve. Let's take a step back and see where the Bucks are after 15 games. Here's the good and the bad in my eyes. They're 0-3 against the Washington football team and New Orleans, they both have losing records, and the Bucs are 0-3 against them. But more importantly, Steve, more importantly, if they win next week, and we'd be shocked if they didn't against the Jets, they would match the most wins in a 16-game season. They'd have one more win than last year's Super Bowl champs in the regular season. And they'd give themselves an opportunity to finish with 13 with the extra game, Steve, granted, which would set a franchise record. All in all, Steve, that's not too shabby for the 2021 Bucs.
No, not at all. And, you know, a lot of fans bet money on winning 10.5 or more, or some fans got 11 wins or more for the season. So they're going to make a lot of fans a lot of money. So I'm always happy about that. And you're right, Ira. I mean, it's fun to nitpick and dive into each game and go with the flow of the season. And you have to do that. But in totality, you know, the team's going to win the division, probably win 13 games. And that's a fantastic season. Look, if you look at Brady's record through the years, he's got a lot of 12-win seasons in New England. I mean, he's not winning 14 games every year. So it is impressive. Lee jogged my memory a little bit, so I looked it up. And just to spit it out there, Carlton Davis, when he came back from injury, his first game back, he had three passes broken up, Lee, three passes defensed. So that was done a little earlier in the year. And two theories for you guys, two theories. One is Whitehead. You know, Darrell Revis is his cousin. And I just have a feeling that maybe they talked on Christmas. You know, they don't talk too often. But maybe they talked on Christmas and Revis said, hey, don't forget you're playing for a contract. Go out there and go absolutely bananas. Panthers are mailing it in. They're going to be half asleep. This is your time to show off. You know, when you tackle a guy, don't just hit him, scream and pull his ankle up into the air like you're an animal, you know, because if you look at Whitehead, he was pounding his chest after each, and no matter what he did, he was trying to show up on the cameras, it seemed. You know, and I can't give him a ton of credit on the Cam Newton thing, only because he wasn't blocked. He just was coming in off the edge, and Newton lowered his head and said, okay, somebody hit me. You know, it was just a bizarre situation there. But also this, I got to say this, and I know a lot of fans aren't going to like this. Maybe it's out of line, and Ira, you'll tell me if it is. But, you know, I listen to all these Buccaneers Radio Network shows. Even if they're miserable, I find a way to stick it out to find some nuggets in there. You know, many of them are with the players are boring as hell after 10 minutes or so. But Devin White was on last week, and Devin White was talking about how talking about a million things. You know, he talks 100 miles an hour, and he was talking about how he bought a new house, and because he wanted to decorate his own house a little more than the previous one that he just bought that was featured on Fox. If you remember, Aaron Andrews went to his house to visit him. If you remember that feature that they did. Well,
I don't remember that.
They were hanging out in his barn, and he had a new place in Odessa. He was talking about it, and Aaron Andrews spent the half a day with him. Anyway, so he bought a new house. Apparently, he didn't like that one enough. And he was talking about how he wanted to put different types of decorations that wouldn't go in the old house. But Devin White mentioned that he was moving on Christmas Eve and on Christmas. And I was thinking to myself, who moves on Christmas Eve in the middle of the season in a playoff chase when you got a bad quad and a healing hip? It seemed really odd. And I thought, you know what? When I heard it, I thought, you know what? Devin White's going to have a quiet game. Maybe I'm crazy, but that seems really odd. It seems like something Derek Brooks wouldn't do. And maybe I'm wrong, but he did have a quiet game and didn't look like he was the electric buzzsaw that he sometimes can be. So I don't know. Am I making too much of that, Ira? What do you think?
I think the timing's a little strange. I agree. Maybe this particular house, you know, was only going to be available, and he had to outbid people, and he had to get in at a certain time. We don't know the circumstances, Lee. It's a little strange. And yes, Lee, I didn't really notice him very much. I sure noticed Whitehead. Devin White, I think he's had a quiet season, and I think it's tough to argue against that. Maybe my standards are too high, but Lee, as you mentioned, he might be their best player in the postseason, and I haven't seen, you know, him shine like that often this year. Maybe one or two games, maybe. And he's been used different ways. Lee, you've talked about it, you know, with your conversation with Todd Bowles. But now the cornerback, Lee, he's supposed to go back to the old disruptive Devin White. I don't see it. I don't think he's awful out there. So we shall see, Mr. DeKemper. Lee, the Bucks are not going to get the number one seed, and nobody else is going to get it except those people in Lambeau. That's the way it is, Lee. I believe the Packers might have to lose their last two games. That's not going to happen. So, Lee, here we go again. You know, it's not the wild card route, Lee. They're a division champ, but it looks like they're probably going to have to go through Green Bay. And, Lee, just hear you. In the big game, Rodgers finds a way to lose. You still thinking that way?
Absolutely. Until they prove otherwise, their choke card is in the playoffs, specifically Aaron Rodgers. And real quick, people get mad at me when I reply in the comments. People are like, well, maybe if Brady leaves this year, the Bucks can get Aaron Rodgers. My response to that is always, you don't want that. And man, do people get mad when I say that. For anybody getting mad at me saying the Bucks don't want Aaron Rodgers, here's a project for you. Go research his record and his results and his numbers at warm weather sites. Just do that research, people, including at Raymond James Stadium. And then come back and tell me you want it. Just there's your project for you. Real quick about Devin White, paralysis by analysis. Earlier in the season, Lavonte Davis hurt. Of course, the secondary was hurt. There's a couple guys hurt in the secondary, specifically Anton Winfield. And Devin White disappeared. And I remember I asked Todd Bowles, and I've said this over and over and over again. I bought it because I thought it was genuine, because I thought it was logical. I still do. When I asked him why was Devin White's numbers down, was it because you were asking him to do different things to cover for people that weren't in the lineup? He said that was part of it. What happened last weekend? Devin White didn't play a huge game numbers-wise. No Lavonte David. No Antoine Winfield. Coincidence? I'm not a big believer in coincidences in the NFL.
I think a very interesting angle, Steve, and you heard Coach Arians say it. And I was a little surprised that he did. He was asked about resting players, maybe when your position is solidified in the playoff seating. You can't move up. You can't move down. And, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but he indicated that he's tilting towards playing the regulars all the way. And I think his phrase was, you lose a little bit when you rest some guys at the end of a season. That's very interesting, Steve. I don't know if I agree with that, but that's the way Arians looks at it. If you're locked into a playoff spot, wouldn't you give some of these guys a break?
Well, there's so many ways to look at it, and it's a little bit ironic because Arians would love to have the number one overall seed, which means you get a week off. So you can't really have it both ways, in my mind. The Bucks have an old team. They're a Super Bowl team. They went deep last year. They're an older roster. Sure, you want these guys to have time off. I don't think anybody should worry about them being flat. But for some players, I think it's probably an individual thing. You know, some players probably do better with a week off. Some probably do better with, hey, let me play a half and keep my routine going. It's really hard to say. I don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to handle it. I do remember talking to John Gruden when he was had his Ring of Honor day, the advanced news conference, and he spent a lot of time with reporters at One Buck. I asked him what his biggest regret was from the 2007 season. He talked about resting the players, and he's like, I wouldn't do it again. You know, it was just a bad idea. And you remember, Ira, they clinched with 2 weeks to go, just like the Bucks just did. And they rested their players and, you know, they came out and they just didn't have enough. So I don't know what the answer is, Ira, but they got a lot of decisions to make. That's for sure.
It's a tough one, Lee. It's a tough one. Of course, if you're still alive for the number one seed, you do what you got to do. Everybody understands that. But I think that number one seed is basically out of reach realistically, unfortunately, because Green Bay doesn't lose, Lee. Right now, they don't lose. And give them credit. Their coach is a Coach of the Year candidate. Their quarterback's an MVP candidate. You know, the Bucs are not going to get the number one seed, Lee, but that doesn't mean they can't repeat. Doesn't mean that.
No. They were a wild card last year, and they won it all. I agree with you, the Packers probably won't lose, but they look soft on defense of late. Teams are moving the ball on them. teams that shouldn't move the ball on them are moving the ball on them. So I'm not willing to, you know, fall to my knees and bow to the Packers like they're the reincarnation of the 76 Steelers or something. Yeah, I appreciate and respect the Packers, but I don't think they're greatest things in sliced bread. They got a great quarterback who always chokes in the playoffs. I'm not sweating the Packers. As far as Arians, I guess in a perfect world, you'd like to rest these guys. But Arians said his experience is. And to me, that was the key. Outside of Belichick and Andy Reid, who has more postseason experience than Arians? If that's his experience, I'm siding with him. I trust Arians. Let's put it that way. He's the best coach the Bucks have ever had. Whatever he wants to do, I'm good with it.
I got a question for Izvitz right now. Stevie, you got to bet $100. $100, Izvitz, you got to reach into that, pry open that wallet. There might be some moths that fly out of there. Steve, you got to bet $100, Izvitz. Yes or no? Mike Evans' 1,000-yard streak will continue. Will continue. Yes or no, Izvitz?
Well, before I give you the yes or no, Ira, let me just take a second to say that he's on the COVID list now, but it looks like the NFL's on the cusp of changing its rules where you only need a 5-day quarantine. So it looks like he could play Sunday if he's healthy with his hamstring, but I don't think they would play him Sunday. I think that makes no sense. I do think he'll play in week 18. I think he'll play, and I think if he's on the field, they'll make sure he gets the record. So will he get the record with a Panthers defense that has a good pass rush and cornerbacks who have covered him in the past? I think they will, because I think the Panthers will be playing for a draft pick by then. So yes, I'm going to say yes. He plays in week 18 and he gets 1,001 yards.
And I think Lee agree. I agree with you, and I think Lee agrees with you, because I don't know whether it's Arians in particular, but Lee, he's very aware of these personal goals, like he was last year with Evans. And Lee, I think one way or another, I think he's going to try to get it to him.
He may try to get it to him. That doesn't mean he's going to get it. I absolutely would bet against it, and because I just don't think it's worth the risk. I think he'll play. Pardon me. I think he'll play at some point. When that is, I don't know. Yeah, I know about the COVID thing, but I just don't think he'll get it. And, you know, to Steve's point about, you know, the Panthers may mail it in, who even knows if Matt Rhule's going to be coaching them or not?
You know, Lee, I'll say one thing. If Evans is playing, Lee, he's going to get a lot of targets from Brady, because Brady wants him to have it too, Lee.
I think so. I remember Brady talking about that last year. I can't remember what game it was. Might have been the second last game of the year last year. Might have been Detroit. I don't know. But Brady said, I mean, he was very blunt about it. We know how much that record means to Mike, and our goal was to get him that record.
Yeah, that's the thing, Ira. That's the thing. He needs 101 yards to hit 1,000. So my point is that if he plays in week 18, if they say, well, you know, he probably could have played against the Jets, but we weren't going to push it, and he's back and he's going to play. If his cleats hit that field and he's healthy enough to play, they're going to get him the record. That's what I think.
And, you know, to put it bluntly, and I don't think this is an overstatement, I think ultimately, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but ultimately it would have an impact on his Hall of Fame chances. There's something about, you know, starting out your career in that manner, unprecedented, that we're talking about 10 years from now, you know, if Evans plays another 5 years, it could be a factor in his chances to get into Canton. It could be.
Well, I think that's a reflection on Canton. I got to say that. I don't like that at all, Ira. I don't like it, especially since he'd be getting the 1,000 yards in what is the 17th game of a 16-game right. season. I mean, if he's not worthy now for the consecutive yardage streak, then the rest of his career has to, you know, be looked at in its totality. You know what I mean? If a Super Bowl, couple of Pro Bowls, and 8 and 7 straight years isn't enough, then I don't think this year should matter. That's all I'm saying.
Not a bad way to look at it, Steve. Not bad.
Got a flood in your house, water damage, mold, fire damage, whatever it is, you contact Florida's Elite Restoration immediately before you call your insurance company. That's your first phone call. They're there for you 24/7. Not only will they come out and give you a free assessment of what's happening and what you might need to do, but they will guide you in the insurance company process if it needs to go in that direction. Don't get ripped off by your insurance company. Call Florida's Elite Restoration right away. Owner Josh Martin used to work as an insurance adjuster for well over a decade. He knows the game, he knows the business, but more important, his team is going to treat you honestly and they will assess what's happening and put you at ease that you have a legendary company, a leader in the Bay Area, right in your home, helping you take care of this situation, whatever it is. So, Florida'sElitereStoration.com, that is where you start. If you are a business owner and you're a property manager or a contractor or an air conditioning repair company, an installer, you find issues like this all the time. You need a great company to work with. Call owner Josh Martin directly. Find him at Florida'sElitereStoration.com and he'll schedule a meeting with you to talk about their great service, how you can protect your customers and clients with an honest company right here in the Tampa Bay area, Florida's Elite Restoration. All right, Sage, look, you didn't tell us what you ate for Christmas, so we got to hear the list.
Well, I think it's easier to say what I didn't partake of. Yeah, my plate was full. It was falling over. The cranberry was coming off the side. We did it buffet style. Turkey, of course, ham, spinach with the tomato, creamed onions, mashed potatoes, cranberry. Now, I got to say, I will not eat sweet potatoes, gentlemen. I won't eat it. I don't even want to look at it. A nice nice glass or two of wine. And, of course, a layer cake to round out the evening. And I didn't even talk about the appetizers to start. They didn't have enough crackers for yours truly with the cheeses and the and the pepperoni. I built a nice foundation there in that first stop. When the dinner bell rang at 4 o'clock, I was ready to go. There's three shirts I can't get into this morning, Lee. Can't get into them. What's the next size up from extra large, gentlemen? I don't even know, but I think I got to go there. And, of course, my wife buys me four shirts on Christmas morning. Some of them are extra large. I try them all on. But gentlemen, the ones that are large, she's taking them right back to the store. Right back to the store. What's going on?
Oh, we needed the rundown, Ira. You know, it's just imperative to hear what you ate. And, you know, we went into this season, this magical 2021 training camp. I think you were boasting how you were down 11 pounds. You were fired up to get to 20. And it looks like the wheels fell off, Ira.
You know, with each buck victory, I think I added a pound. So you do the math, gentlemen. I think I'm back to zero from where I was June. Lee, that's not good news. It's not.
Yeah, it's good news. It means the Bucks are winning.
Hey, Ira, you started talking about Antonio Brown, and you know, let's put a more serious spotlight on this. 2.5 months, the guy comes back, and the Panthers know that he's going to be the go-to guy. I mean, they have eyes. They could see who's on the field. He's the go-to guy, and they still couldn't stop him. And he still looked incredibly sharp, and he didn't really let up. And 15 targets. And I would think his chemistry with Brady is going to get better. I was a little bit off on one pass. He could have probably had another catch. I think it's just mind-blowing, impressive, and really speaks to, you mentioned Hall of Fame and Mike Evans, really speaks to the caliber of this guy.
The guy looks fantastically. I mean, I'm not gonna argue that. You can't. I think he's played six games, and in those six games, he's been the best Buck receiver, as great as a Godwin has been this year. I think Brown was better when they played those five games together. I thought Brown was better. And Lee, I watch him on these patterns, and you know, Steve likes to use that phrase, hair on fire. Well, that's the way he runs on the field, Lee. Like, his hair's on fire. The cornerback is backpedaling because he doesn't want Brown to get behind him. And then he stops and comes back towards Brady. It's an uncoverable play, Lee. They can't cover it because he's going so dynamically I call him the best route runner this side of Cooper Kupp. Amari Cooper is a great route runner. Brown gets in and out of his breaks, Lee, better than almost anybody I've ever seen. I mean, wow. He's fantastic at it. The one play he doesn't do very much anymore, and I don't think maybe it's in the Buck playbook, is when he was in Pittsburgh, Lee, he used to take those, what do they call them, skinny posts or slants, and he used to take them to the house. We really haven't seen that too much with the Bucks. He's more going straight downfield, but Lee, right now, can't cover the guy.
Oh, I just remember that touchdown he had in the Super Bowl. He was so quick in the end zone. When he reversed his field, like, holy smoke. I got to ask you about this. You're saying the way he comes out of breaks and things like that. I will never forget. I was at the game. I was sitting not far from you. Arians and the Cardinals came into town. Fitzgerald put a move on Revis that, to this day, you rave about. Is Brown doing better than what Fitzgerald did that game?
Well, you're in high cotton over there, Lee, because Fitzgerald, in my opinion, is a first ballot Hall of Famer. First ballot. And he will be eligible in 5 years. And he's going in. There's not going to be a lot of debate about Larry Fitzgerald. Brown's right there, Lee. We had a little debate last week. We had a writer from Pittsburgh on, Clark Judge and I. We asked about Brown in the Hall of Fame. I gave him a hearty endorsement. I said yes. And I'll tell you why, Lee. I'll tell you why. And I really believe this. And this is maybe the Tony Boselli argument, even though Brown played a lot longer than Boselli. Lee, if you think a guy is like the best position for 4, 5, 6 years, I mean, the very best, that's a Hall of Famer, Lee. That's a Hall of Famer. I don't care what position it is.
That's fair.
Brown was like that in Pittsburgh. I think there were 3, 4, 5 years where he was the premier receiver. And, Lee, I got to tell you, right now, he don't look like he's lost very much.
Yeah, I'm surprised, like Steve is, that, you know, the Panthers, maybe this says something about the stinking Panthers. The Panthers knew he was going to be targeted.
Yeah.
It was his first game in 2.5 months. And the guy came out and dominated. You know, that, and I'm not going to throw Hall of Fame around only because, you know, that's different discussion. But when you fully expect a guy to be targeted, and I got to imagine the Panthers were keen on him, and still he dominates, that's another level. That's another level. I already bring up Clark Judge, and I'm glad you brought Clark Judge. I got to meet this guy sometime. He comes across as a fantastic guy. Very interesting writer. But he brought up something Sunday night in one of his columns I got to ask you about. And I thought he made a hell of a point. He said, okay, Brady stunk against the Saints. The last game against, absolutely stunk. And so people are saying, well, that's it for him, an MVP. Well, Rodgers also played the Saints.
Right.
Got clobbered, had a horrible game, and no one's holding that against Rodgers. Why?
That's all about timing, Lee. It is.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you. That came the first week of the season. It wasn't a nationally televised game that I can recall. Maybe it was. I don't recall it. Whereas the Bucks were nationally televised. It was prime time, and it was in December. That's I think you're onto something there, Ira.
Yeah, but you're also onto something, Lee, that each game counts the same. So something happened September 10th should count the same as December 10th. And you're right about that. But a lot of times, what's the last thing you just saw? What's the last thing you
exactly.
just saw?
Exactly. It's fresh in memory.
Yeah, you're making a great point about that, Lee.
Sage, I'll say this with Antonio Brown, and maybe you guys disagree. Antonio Brown, at his peak, whatever you envision his very best to be, whatever season that is, whatever stretch of games, but Antonio Brown at his peak was better than Larry Fitzgerald at his peak. I don't think there's even any doubt whatsoever. So just on that, if you say he's a first ballot guy, then what's Brown, who's also with 87 yards on Sunday, Ira, he will be 23rd on the all-time receiving list. If he plays next year, he's going to easily be into the top 20.
Ira, am I wrong in saying this?
Yeah.
Fitzgerald, at least in my memory, Fitzgerald's best games, most dominant games, were in the postseason. He took us to another level in the postseason.
I'll never forget, Lee. I'll never forget the 09 Super Bowl right here in Tampa. Pittsburgh and Arizona. Kurt Warner throwing him the ball. Steve, the second half of that game, Pittsburgh had a nice lead. That was the game James Harrison had that 101-yard return for a touchdown. No, nobody could handle Larry Fitzgerald in the second half of that game on the biggest stage in football. Nobody could handle, and that was a hell of a Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah.
Very good Pittsburgh defense. And without that unbelievable play by Roethlisberger and that great pass in that right corner, Arizona wins that game. And Fitzgerald's probably the MVP. Steve, your point's right. Peak value. I think I would take Antonio Brown. Lee, overall, Steve, overall body of work. I mean, I think you got to give Fitzgerald the edge. Overall body of work. I want to say one more thing. Lee, you might want to turn off your phone, Lee. You're not going to like it. But I'll throw it in there. I'll preface it by saying this. I don't think Buck fans care about this. They don't care. And I don't blame them. But I think it's worth saying Brown's post-game performance at the podium, I thought was disgraceful. It's not going to affect the Bucks' Super Bowl chances. Buck fans don't care. But he had a chance to apologize, to say he did something wrong, put Arians in a bad spot, put the organization. He didn't want to do it. He could have done it, and he didn't do it. And instead, he blamed the media. You can't blame the media. He did what he did. And the league spoke. The league spoke. And he had a chance, Lee, and I wish he would have taken it.
Yeah, I thought Joey Knight, and by the way, Joey Knight's question was on the mark. I didn't see anything wrong with that. He asked him about his ankle, and Antonio Brown got all bent out of shape. Like, what? He wasn't asking you about your dumb fake D card. But I just thought it was beyond hilarious that Brown blamed the Fourth Estate and me, you know, because I've written about him so much, blamed us for his fake D card. Like, whoa, hold up. If you didn't do it in the first place, we couldn't be writing about it.
Yeah, I was disappointed, Steve, in that response.
Did I believe Brown was wrong? I mean, absolutely. There was no unfair question that was asked him. But having said that, but I will take an ornery, immature, delusional dude behind the microphone to freak out over Josh McCown or I don't even want to say his name. You pick a guy who just, just mumbles nonsensical crap, cliches. He speaks about 20 minutes, and after he's finished speaking, you ask, what'd he say? So I will take a live wire, as wrong as he is, as outrageous and immature as he is, I'll take that any day over a monotone, empty mouth, warm body behind a microphone. Trust me on that.
And, Steve, I'll be the first to say, in the grand scheme of things, it probably doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Sure. Well, a couple of thoughts on that. First, if Brown wanted to apologize, he easily could have put out a statement when he was suspended. So I didn't see a statement. The Bucks, if they wanted him to apologize, they could have said, hey, Antonio, we're putting out a statement on the suspensions. Can we throw in a one-liner that expresses your apologies? We'll text it to you. They didn't do that either, that we know of anyway. So, I mean, the Bucks have put out a statement, literally. Jason Light himself put out a statement once when some guy apparently stole Deshaun Jackson's car and was running away from the scene or something. It was the weirdest thing. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. There's no rhyme or reason to how the Bucks put out statements. Sometimes there's a name on it. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes it's Joel Glazer, you know, but nobody actually asked Ira, unless I got this wrong. Nobody actually asked Antonio Brown, are you sorry about what happened? Do you feel you did something wrong? And did you apologize to your team? They didn't ask him that. Right. So they asked him other things about, you know, Arians taking a chance on you and, you know, giving you a second chance after he said he wouldn't. You know, that's just drama. That's not asking the question. But yeah, Brown's ridiculous. It was funny. He responded as if he wasn't going to get those questions. You know, weren't you ready for that? And usually, it was, you know, fans may not realize the Bucks prep these guys for what questions they're going to get. And Brown looked like it was out of left field. Like, what are you talking about? You know, how could you ask me this stuff? I'm not talking about it. But yeah, he didn't handle it very well. All he had to say was, "Hey, I'm not talking about the personal stuff. It's over. We've moved on." But he didn't do that.
Yeah, you hit a great point there that a lot of fans, I don't know if they realize that or are unaware of. And I'm not saying this in a condescending way whatsoever. So please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to be an a-hole about this. Often, the guys behind them, you know, whether the Arians, Leftwich, or player, they're prepped sometimes minutes before they're seen on the video, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Buccaneers.com. That's all rehearsed, a lot of it. You know, I've actually seen with my own eyes Bucks media representatives telling a coach or a player, okay, you're going to be asked about this, to your point, Steve. You're going to be asked about this. You want to say this. You want to say that. This is all rehearsed. So if people are, like, appalled that, you know, some of the things they said sounds weird, well, it's all rehearsed.
Ira, speaking of rehearsed, we are happy to repeat our line to tell everybody to go to Bill Curry Ford, shop there this week, shop there today online, BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan is waiting for you. So many great year-end offers. And of course, they're buying your vehicle too. If you got one you want to get rid of, if you got a special Christmas present, they are happy to buy any and all vehicles. And Big Storm Beer, remember it for the holidays, the New Year's are here. Great Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. And thank you to Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first phone call when you have any issue in your home, flood, fire, water damage, whatever it is, mold, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, we'll see you later in the week, but say goodbye to everybody.
Look, everybody needs a chuckle at this time of the year. It's a tough time. So I will provide a little comic relief, Lee, by saying on Thursday, I look forward to it. I will have my colonoscopy. Oh, yeah. On Thursday. And that means on Wednesday, I will be indisposed, if you know what I mean. My brother thinks I'm crazy. He says, you do color guard. It's 95% effective. You send your poop in the mail. They send it back to you. You're okay. Why would you go through all these things? I do the real deal over there. I accept no substitutes to Kemper. So I'm going under anesthesia, and when I wake up, I will remember nothing of what that doctor did to me, and believe me, I don't want to remember it.
All right, all right. After that Christmas dinner description, you got a lot of work to do, so we'll let you go.